This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass
on Joy 94.9.
This is Triple Bypass. Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Kulin Nation whose sovereignty was never ceded. We pay our respects to elders past, present and future, to the brother boys and sister girls of the Indigenous LGBTI community and to any elders that may be listening right now. This is Real Big Fish with She Has a Girlfriend Now.
Hey, shut up. I'm not into that. I don't like boys. I've told you that before.
She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend now. She said, guys, don't do no more.
You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. That was Real Big Fish with She's Got a Girlfriend Now. I once dated a guy whose mum had left his dad for a girl and was a lot happier, so kudos to them. That's all I've got. My name's Ruby.
I'm James.
And we are joined once again by our beautiful intern, John.
Good evening. It's lovely to be here.
We also have a guest host who's going to be hopefully coming in every now and again, Mel.
Hello.
Now, you guys may have... Mel's been here before to talk about Spectrum Intersections, which is Mel's support group for the queer, neurodiverse community.
Yeah, yeah.
Represent. Now, just a language warning for this show. We've got a few songs coming up, and we'll probably be dropping a few language bombs. But so to start off, what's been happening in the bi-verse? Now, one of the biggest things I've been seeing exploding on bi-Twitter is definitely Harry Styles.
Harry Styles exploded?
Practically. He released a song that sounds like it could be bisexual. So obviously more than One Direction. So they're going in now.
I know very little about this because I am quite old.
Too old to be on Twitter? I don't think so, because you are currently on our Twitter, which, by the way, guys, you can grab at Triple Bypass. That's with a B-I, not the surgical procedure. You can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass. And if you want to shoot us a message, you can get us at 0427-JOY-949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. Stay in touch. Did you hear about Harry Styles? Apparently, things got pretty heated pretty quickly because someone then said he was a lesbian icon. And the lesbians weren't happy with that, and the bisexuals weren't happy with that, and no one was happy, particularly the article writer.
Yeah, if you're going to call somebody an icon for a particular group, you should probably be a member of that group.
Just because you wore a pink pantsuit one time does not a lesbian make. But the other thing about, speaking of American bisexuals, so Cynthia Nixon, Miranda from Sex and the City, is running for governor of New York. So then again, someone was like, you know, it's great to see a lesbian. And people were like, that's not what she is at all. Cynthia has not always been comfortable with the term bisexual, but she is very much a bisexual. And she's come back around to that term, which I've seen a bit of recently. Mm. Which is exciting.
Just nice. Reclaim it. Own it. Love it.
Now, later on the show, we'll be joined by Nevo Zissin. I don't think I pronounced that correctly, and I will definitely make sure I get it right the next time, who's picked all the rest of the music for us. That song was picked by Mel.
I like Real Big Fish.
They're pretty great.
I'm a big Ska fan. Mm-hmm. Ska and punk is where it's at for me. Perhaps you've now guessed my age.
I was going to say, I don't actually know what Ska music is. I'm sorry. I'm real sorry.
That's my age. There we go.
That's the way that Anthony looked at me when I mentioned that a song he liked came out when I was 6 years old. Anthony is still, of course, producing for us and doing all these special things, and we miss his energy.
We'll hopefully be back on the air with us soon.
Hopefully. I expect so. He's still doing lots of great work with the Melbourne Bisexual Network, so that's all going along well. Also, I've been told to let you guys know that abstracts are now open for the LGBTQI Women's Health Conference, which is coming up. So abstracts are now open for submissions. So if you feel like there's an area that you'd like to talk about at that, if you'd like to present, to give a workshop or a conference, you can start putting that together now, which would be very exciting. I think we're going to try and get something up there, talk about bi gals and non-binary pals.
Yeah, I know I did a presentation on neurodiverse or the spectrum intersections, diverse gender, sexuality and the autism spectrum, which was pretty good.
Excellent.
Nobody left.
That's always a great sign.
I thought, geez, I think I'm doing all right.
Nobody fell asleep? Nobody threw a fruit?
No, and I went way over time and people could have left. But they didn't, so I've done something right.
See, that's even better. If they left and you went overtime and they didn't leave, you're obviously engaging the audience. Mm.
So next time, I'm just going to lock them in and then give them all of the buy information that they need to know.
Just get the buy five, which has happened, and we've got our key points. Okay, here's the stuff. Here it is.
Bam!
And they'll be like, who's in this room? I can't even see anybody.
Yeah.
Unless it's on Bi Visibility Day. It's nearing the end of Bi Health Month. So just keep that in mind again. So this is the month that all of us wonderful bis, pans and queers should be looking after ourselves, drinking lots of water, taking your meds when you need to, making sure you get enough sleep and that you seek help if you need it. We've got support groups. There's actually a discussion coming up with the Bisexual Alliance of Victoria, I think.
Yeah, that's coming up next week.
On Tuesday.
Yeah, next Tuesday.
So James will not be here. He'll be there. And so you can actually go and hang out with him and chat with him in real life while Jennifer does their presentation now, which will be very fun. But we're going to go to another song. So this is one of those picked by Nevo, which is Hold Me by Two Steps on the Water. I think they actually played one of those songs before when we had Govind and Raina over. I think they played at Raina's illegal wedding. Three people, I think, was the illegal factor of that. It was a platonic polyamorous wedding. Which honestly sounds like the most fun ever and the kind of wedding I could definitely get behind. All right, guys, this is Triple Bypass. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
Good Lord. they do. Hold me, hold me.
Right, you're listening to Joy 94.9, and this is Triple Bypass. I'm Ruby.
I'm James.
I'm Mel.
And I'm John.
We have a very full cast today. It's a quadruple bypass with extra. We're now joined by Nev, who is a Jewish queer non-binary activist, public speaker, and author of the book Finding Nevo, which is a memoir on gender transition. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Very exciting. So you've been kind of on the road a bit doing stuff with schools, but you also were one of the keynote speakers at Better Together, where you, the conference that was in January, and that was where I think I first heard about your book. So I've seen a great photograph of you where you're kind of covered in pages from it. I think you talked about
Oh, yeah, that's my that's my author photo. I just loved that at the back of most people's books, they've got this really kind of, like, brooding author picture.
Like, it's very, chin like, on his
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. And so I was like, that is just not a realistic depiction of my relationship with my book, so I wanted to show myself drowning in my manuscript.
And, I suppose all the writers would have looked at that photo and gone, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, right?
So the subline was, how I confused everyone. Mm-hmm. So why was it confusing for everybody? Can I just ask, like, as a general
That's
overview?
That's such a good question. I don't know. I don't know. Why is everyone so confused?
So you identify as non-binary and queer, so you're non-binary in both your gender and your sexuality, which does tend to cause a little bit of chaos, as we've talked about on the show before.
Yeah, I love causing chaos. People are just confused because they really like boxes and I don't. I was assigned female at birth. I came out as a lesbian when I was about 14. I came out as trans when I was 17. I really like coming out. I think it's a hobby of mine. I do it all the time. And then I began my social transition and then my medical, and then I came out again as non-binary and had to tell my family that I was, like, also dating dudes, and that was the whole thing. So, yeah, I just, like, come out every couple of weeks because I like to shake.
Well, I was going to say, like, a lot of bisexuals got to come out every few weeks, but generally just about the one thing. So, you know, you can just wear one T-shirt.
Well, you do have to come out sort of every time you meet new people because they have all of these set expectations about what you must be based on your looks. So.
When you've got a new partner, like, no, I'm not straight now. No, I'm not this now.
Yeah.
And you actually were mentioning before we came on that despite people understanding non-binary, you still get asked a lot if you're into men or women.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. Like, people will interview me about my transness and then ask me, so are you into men and women? And I'm like, what about all the non-binary genderqueer people in the world? Did you forget about them in between asking me about my gender and this question?
Yes.
It's bizarre.
I think that's exactly what happened. So you do workshops at school. So is that primary school, middle school?
Mostly high schools. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go into primary schools. I think there are some people who wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I work mostly in, I go to a lot of workplaces, writers' festivals, high schools, queer community groups, sort of wherever I'm asked to be.
So so you're a professional speaker and, like, a translator, really, of people's misunderstandings around gender all the time?
Yeah, I guess so. I like to. Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it.
And so you mentioned before as well that you actually had a really nice moment recently, one of your, at the writer. So what was the Writers' Festival that you were at?
So I went to the Somerset Celebration of Literature on the Gold Coast, which was
so
just...
So that's 10 times really fast.
I probably... Yeah, I have more important things to say. No, it was just fantastic. I mean, it's always really, really special when you get to meet other writers, because I think writing is such a secluded, kind of introverted act, and you don't have co-workers. So when you meet at writers' festivals, it's like meeting over the water cooler, and it's kind of like, what are you working on? It's really nice to see you. How are you going? How much did you get paid for your book? Oh, that's ridiculous. You know, like, we never have those conversations. So it was really nice. But also, we were part of this school, and we had, like, key students that would lead us around and show us where to go and whatever. So I'm going to change names for the sake of privacy, but there was one student I interacted with over the course of the 3 days, and they were really lovely, and they were wearing the boy's uniform and, I guess, presented as a boy in that context. And at the very end, they came up to me and bought one of my books, and we hadn't really spoken much, but they sort of said, oh, can you make it out to Michelle? And I was like, yeah, cool. Like, who's Michelle? I like to write a really personalized message in all the books. And they were like, Michelle is me.
Oh, wow.
And I just, like, had this moment because I was like, I had no idea. Like, why would I? But, you know, it was just really special because I thought, gosh, if I had spent 3 days with a trans non-binary person when I was in high school, I can't even imagine what that would have been like. So it was just this moment where I was like, don't cry. Don't cry in front of everyone, which is really, like, the thoughts in my head all the time. But it was really, really special. And it's moments like that where it's like, it's worth everything.
As well that the work you're doing is really... It's obviously really touching people, because to have that person feel able to tell you that, maybe not able, possibly not having been able to tell anybody else.
It was a moment where I did feel like it was possible that I was the only person that they had told. That was kind of like the feeling that I got from
them. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was a real gift.
I think it's one of those remarkable things about visibility and representation, about actually not understanding that you're sort of that what you are is possible until you've seen that it exists outside of your own head. And I think that's a big issue that we talk about in non-binary spaces, whether it's sexual or sexuality or gender. There's a lot of questions around, oh, this can't be a real thing until you see someone else own it and live it.
And also to have your school, like, pay for someone to come in and be an authority in that, you know,
things
because kids also look up to adults in a way that they don't necessarily look up to their peers. But, you know, to come in there and be able to sort of speak from a higher position or a respectable position, I think gives it some validity that they might not receive with their peers.
And I suppose, especially afterwards, because if they're asked to explain things, they go, oh, you know, that person, you know, when that person came in at school, it's like that.
Yeah, I've had people actually come out because of that. Like, people have messaged me on Instagram being like, oh, I came out as bisexual as soon as you left because I was able to kind of reference you and your speech. And I was like, great, like, I'm getting paid to do the hard work. You shouldn't have to do the hard work. That's why I'm doing it, you know, so no one else has to.
Well, we appreciate that hard work too. Mm. The army is growing.
That's our bisexual agenda.
Absolutely. The Bi-Plus umbrella, which is covering all the multigender attracted people. I hear that it's becoming a lot more common now for kids to kind of identify as bi or queer and to kind of embrace the fluidity of the spectrums, and Mel and I are all about the spectrums too.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so it sounds like the Writers' Fest, how did you get started? Like, what kind of decided, what, when did you decide you wanted to write a book about yourself?
When
about,
I got a book deal. No.
That's real good.
I mean, I am sort of an anomaly. Like, I did receive a book deal before I wrote the book, which is like just a little bit unheard of.
But, had you written before?
I had done some writing, but not heaps, which I think is like, it shows that you can do what you want. I mean, you can have an opportunity. Like, obviously, I had a great opportunity, and that's a huge privilege. But, you know, I really, I encourage people to, like, experiment with different art forms. But public speaking is really my main jam. Like, that's where I do the most work, and that's how I got the book deal. It was through a public speaking session, and I think I also just really wanted to write the book because when you grow up queer and trans, you just don't see yourself reflected in the media or in the people around you or just anywhere, and so I wanted to write myself into existence, and I wanted to be the person that I didn't have growing up.
It could be a very powerful drive, kind of, just to sort of go, I want to be the person that wasn't there for me to look up to.
Well, I think it's one of the things you just look around, you're like, okay, well, surely someone else will do this. And then after a while, you're like, well, no one's done it, so I guess I better do it.
I guess it's me.
And I was, like, very lucky to have that platform, you know? Like, it was an immense privilege, and I have to also, you know, pay testament to all of the elders who have come before me that have done incredible work as well, you know, that may not have had those opportunities or... But, it's been a really special time. It's been amazing to be able to go and speak to young people.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's moulding the young minds, much as we're accused of constantly, but in a good way. Like, as opposed to very much like, you can do what you want, be who you want to be.
And I walk into those sessions and I just say to them, you know what, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to be the best and kindest version of myself. Mm. And if you're going to, like, walk out of that session and critique me, like, okay. You know, like, that kind of just, like, proves my point. Like, I had some boys, like, snickering in the corner as I was speaking, and I was like, hey, guys, I see you over there. I want you to know that I'm going to pull you up on this if you continue.
Yeah.
You're actually making me feel, like, uncomfortable, and that's not going to look good for you. Like, you know, I'm coming here to talk about the discrimination I face, and you're perpetuating it.
Yeah. Like, and I suppose also calling them out, kind of like, you know, so now, I do see what you're doing, and everyone else can too.
Yeah.
I think that's a part of it as well.
Don't become an example.
All right, we're going to be right back after this break. So this is another song picked by Ziff, which is Missy Higgins' Scar, one of our bisexual anthems. I did not know I was bisexual until I started doing this show.
So bisexual.
And I looked at the lyrics. I was like, oh, of course. Of course. Obviously. This is Triple Bypass on Joy.
Down to your bones. And before I knew I had shiny skin, and I felt easy being clean like him, I thought this one knows better than I do.
spoke like the scene. She told me, don't trust them, trust me. Then she pulled in my stitches one by one, looked at my insides, clicking her tongue, and said, this will all have to come undone. A triangle trying to squeeze through a circle. She tried to blind me so I fit. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver the way things could have gone? And doesn't it feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far? Could you leave me with the sky? Just in time, although my old self was hard to find. You can bathe me in your finest wine, but I'll never give you mine. Cause I'm a little bit tired of fearing that I'll be the bad fruit nobody buys. Tell me, did you think we'd all dream the same? And doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver the way things could have gone? And doesn't it feel peculiar when everyone wants a little more, so that I do remember to never go that far? Could you leave me with the sky? Could you leave me with the sky?
The Veronicas, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
That's right, you're listening to Joy 94.9. That was Scar by Missy Higgins, and this is Triple Bypass. We're joined by Nev. Nev, I know I asked before.
Zissin. Yep.
That's just going to be, I used to have a stutter. That's just not going to be happening.
It's fine. I find that interviewers are like really on top of the gender stuff and like my sexuality and stuff, but it's the name that really catches them. And you know what? I'm cool with that. If that's the most confusing part about me, I'll take it.
So we've been talking before about Nev does a lot of public speaking at schools, and has also put out a book, Finding Nevo, how they managed to confuse everybody, or how I confused everyone, I think is the catchphrase, as coming out multiple times as many different things. And where can people get the book?
If you get it directly off me, I make more money, but,
no, you and can how get can it I do from, that?
you can go through my author page, Nevo Zissin Author, and get in touch with me. Otherwise, you can go through Readings, Dimmicks, Booktopia,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Most places.
Anyway, my name's Ruby.
And I'm James.
And I'm Melum.
Melum is one of our new guest hosts, and we also have our beautiful, Mr. Melbourne Rubber Man.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have
and
you,
we're sharing a microphone. That's why you might not hear so much of me.
John and James are sharing the mic for tonight.
I'm not good at sharing. Sorry.
You're terrible. You're a poly bisexual. It's like the exact opposite of what you do, James. So we were previously talking. So public speaking was your thing, and that's how you got a book deal. And talking about how kids have kind of been able to see parts of themselves in the stories that you tell, and so are able to kind of connect with themselves. And we were just having a bit of a chat. Now, one of the things that's been talked about a bit in the community recently, so the Informa program, that's our current affairs program, was talking about feeling comfortable in the community. And people who have not always felt comfortable going into the community, and this is after the first openly gay Olympian, the ice skater, said he had not felt comfortable, or he felt he would not be welcomed by the community. So I suppose on that note, so how do you feel, Nev, that the community deals with non-binary, just in a general thing, anything that kind of breaks through the quite, like, you know, the idea of male, female, monosexuality, really? Mm. I know that word is a bit not for everybody, but, you know, one gender attraction.
Well, I think the misconception is also that we have one community. I mean, we just don't. Like, when we critique queer community or we critique gay community, whatever, you know, what is that? I don't really... Because for me, my queer community comes in coffee dates and potluck dinners and deep and meaningfuls in the smokers area of a club. And, you know, like, it's not Facebook and it's not... this one kind of omnipresent thing that everyone disassociates
queer space
from.
Queer space is a university, I guess, is part of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not my space, but and so I think, that's the thing, is that if we expect this one community to be accepting of us, well, it's never going to happen because there is no one community. There are many, many communities. If we're talking about the LGBTIQA community, obviously, if you exist on the margins, you're not going to be, you know, I mean, there's a gaytriarchy. Like, no one's pretending that there isn't, except the gaytriarchy.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, that's how it's worked. Well, when you've got privilege, it's difficult to see it sometimes. So I think... Yeah, I mean, I do feel it. I do feel it. I felt it when I went to Gay Times Music Festival. I feel it, you know, whenever I go out to a club and it's like, well, look, I'm not a gay man and I'm not a lesbian and I'm not a straight man and I just don't fit in here anyway. And I find that, like, I do have to raise my best bisexuality when I'm in those spaces because, like, I do it automatically. Like, if I'm in a queer space where it's mostly gay men, I won't even look at people of other genders because I'm like, oh, well, I can't, like, kiss them here because I'll be seen as straight and that makes me dysphoric because then I'll be read as a cis man and I can't handle that. You know, like, it gets really complicated with gender stuff as well. And so I just, like, try to, like, queer up everything that I do in every possible way. But it sucks that you shouldn't have to do
the
that.
Kind of having to
it is a performance.
I think it's I've been seeing a bit of discussion around that in some Facebook groups about people talking about how they do try and find ways to make it more clear that they're queer, especially if they're bisexual.
I find it really... I remember hearing someone say once, like, you know, oh, I just wish there was a uniform for bisexuals so that you could just identify one on the street and then just go, oh, it's a bisexual. And, I mean, you know, I'm wearing... And you can't see this because, as we mentioned, it's radio, that I'm wearing Tropical Bisexual shirt right now and it's pretty bisexual.
And fabulous.
I have a badge on my jacket that says Bi Furious, which gives them two identifiers about me.
Yes.
So, I know, do you have a particular way that you try and code to be read as queer? You can let us know on 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air@joy.org.au. You can shoot us a message at triplebypass@joy.org.au. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at triplebypass. Also, just I'm going to do a quick shout to, we've been putting up, so you can find all of our shows as podcasts at joy.org.au/triplebypass. But we also have a podcast exclusive, which was an interview that I did with the Bicast, which is in the United States, which has been going for 5 years. I think it's actually the longest running bisexual podcast there is. That's run by Lynette. So Lynette came out at 55. And you can find out more information, it's a bit of a teaser, but she came out because she discovered the bi community through, she was in hospital and she was quite sick, and then she found Buffy fan pages. And that's how people were like, oh, being bi is fine, because apparently the Buffy community was still hella queer.
Can confirm.
Can
grew
confirm.
Up in the 90s. Buffy very much fueled this bisexuality within me.
I think another guest we had a little while ago, Giselle Nguyen, said that she realised she was queer because there were posters of Buffy on a wall, but she never watched the show. So if you want to know more about that, you can check that out on our podcast page, also on iTunes. Speaking of podcasts, though, so you've done a few, appearances on Hack Live, so that's the video one as well, and SBS Insight, mm-hmm. The morning show. Do you find it difficult sometimes to, how do you remain calm when people ask you questions that can, you know, promote dysphoria or can be erasure, or can, like, promote erasure?
I think that I have a lot of privileges as someone who's white, and, you know, masculine presenting and male passing and cis passing. And so I put myself on the front line because I know I can handle it. And there are some people that can't, and that's a result of my privilege. So I'm prepared for it. Like, when I walked into Hack Live and spoke about male privilege, which was just the most ridiculous thing I've probably ever done, I was totally prepared for that because I knew that's what I was going in for, and I consented to that, you know? And people try to have these conversations with me, like, at clubs and at festivals, like, oh, I can't believe how ridiculous that was. And it's like, yeah, like, your feelings are really valid, but, like, I'm not necessarily the person to discuss that with. Like, I consented to that. I knew what I was in for. Having this conversation is not something I consented to, and I don't necessarily want to talk about it. I mean, like, in that context. Not you. I mean, like, you know, when I'm not working and I, like, am not in an interview context and someone wants to talk to me about the interviews that I've done and discuss male privilege with me, and it's like, that is sometimes harder than being in a work space and getting asked a really triggering or, like, transphobic question. I can deal with that better
because
I'm prepared. If I'm, like, on a dance floor and someone wants to talk to me about an interview or a television thing they've seen me, I'm like, now is, like, just not really the time.
Like, it's like bringing work in, isn't it? It's
yeah, kind of like, but then I feel like such a diva because it's like, oh, don't talk to me. But I, like, I genuinely am invested in, like, meeting people and hearing what they have to say, but there are times and places for it.
That sounds more like self-care. Like, that's actually, yeah. like, you know, I'm trying to have my downtime now, and that is not part of downtime. That's me at work.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Me. It's like when I'm on Grindr and people are asking me questions about my transition, and I'm like, if you think I'm here to educate you, you have really misunderstood Grindr.
I misunderstand Grindr all the time.
I think everyone does.
Yeah. For example, I don't think I'm supposed to be on it. Just
oh, you know, why not? I reckon you get on there. No, save yourself.
I actually was reading an article a while ago. It was like, you know, is Grindr sexism and racism? I'm like, no, that's just people. That's just what it is. Like, you know, the yeah. app allows us to kind of say those things without being monitored or checked for it. And so it's just letting us, it's like, you know, is 4chan doing this? Like, no, that's just people on the platform who are like, I can say what I want and people are encouraging me for this. Therefore, I'll say it louder and louder. But then they all got into My Little Pony and it calmed down a bit. And that's when I stopped being on the internet. So one of the songs we've got coming up soon is by Rin McArdle, who we've actually had on the show. Yes.
Rin is my best friend. Amazing. Sorry, I needed to say that. It's important. We actually have T-shirts with each other's faces on it that say best friends forever.
That is like some Patrick and SpongeBob stuff right there. Yeah, and I love that so much.
It's real.
Well, we had, Rin is of course part of Killjoy, the cabaret show that was on both at Fringe and during Midsummer. And we had them on two shows.
So good.
And Rin is a delight. And this song is called Sirens. Enjoy. You're listening to Triple Bypass, and this is Joy.
Desperate times call for reckless minds. I'm intertwined so deep with you. Broken hearts reach for broken fights. Unspoken crimes against my soul.
Inside my head, no match up to what you said. people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
That was stimulating. This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Triple Bypass. That was Sirens by Rin McArdle. My name's Ruby.
I'm James.
And John.
And I'm Malum.
We are joined by Nev, who is a Jewish queer non-binary activist, public speaker and author, general all-around cool person. And we've been talking about both Nev's public speaking at schools and more recently just the way that the community occasionally can struggle a bit with things that beyond binary, but also this idea of a collective community not really being accurate anyway, because, you know, there are generational communities, there are older communities, there are queer party communities, there are queer nerd communities.
We're a community of communities.
Exactly. Now, one of the things that has come up is the idea of what we do see a lot of is gatekeeping in communities, particularly around, as I think you're mentioning, Nev, when you're in a place you don't necessarily want to hook up with someone who looks like they are of the opposite gender to you, or what a gender you're being coded as, because it'll be dysphoric for you, but also just because people will be like, that's a straight person, what are they doing in here? So I suppose that's something that we've kind of talked about a few times on the show before, mostly because the bi plus community, bi plus being the bi umbrella that covers bisexual, pansexual, queer, hetero and homo, curious and flexible, and everything else that involves more than one gender.
And people who just don't do labels at all.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, people who do multiple labels, like myself.
Yes.
I like so many labels, I was given a label maker.
Thank you, Mel. You're so good. I don't have a label maker. I just wear badges. I just wear a lot of badges.
I can make you a label if you'd like. I have enough for everyone.
But since we're not going to be doing any gatekeeping,
yeah, I was just going to say.
You can take the label off if you want to.
I think, Mel, was it you once said labels are like cats and boxes? That, you know,
because, you know, if people give you a label, it's like trying to put a cat in a box, and cats do not want to go in a box, but if you put a box out, then the cat may choose to get in the box.
Right?
Yes.
And that's what it's like with labels.
And they'll choose the best box for them.
That's it, you know, people are allowed to choose how they want to identify, and that's it with labels, but you shouldn't label other people because that just removes their self-identity.
Or try to define other people's labels for them. I feel like what happens a lot with the bi plus community is that our sexualities often get defined by people who are not within the community, and I think a lot of that's also got to do with the transferring of history. I think that we don't really learn queer history at school. That's not really a part of our education.
Oh, I would have killed that subject.
Right. Oh, my God. It would have solved so many problems for me. Yes. But one of the things
I would
have
loved history.
I know.
I hated history in high school. If it was queer history, oh, my God.
Yes. It would have been an entire
but also,
module.
It would have been very depressing for a long time.
Yeah. So I mean, I also would have loved history if it wasn't just white.
So white. But there was actually a manifesto published in a bisexual magazine in 1990. And this magazine was called Anything That Moves, which I think is hilarious. And this said that one of the things in this manifesto was that bisexuality is a whole fluid identity. Do not assume that bisexuality is binary or duogamous in nature, that we have two sides, that we must be involved simultaneously with both genders to facilitate human beings. In fact, don't assume that there are only two genders. Mm. And I was like, I had no idea that these discussions were being had in 1990. Mm. I thought that was really cool. Now, I'm also going to do a quick shout-out because next week Jen is back with the Representation Hour. But also, Jen is very busy doing a show with Wit Incorporated, which is an all-female non-binary theatre company. Most famously, Jen did play a bisexual Sherlock Holmes with an all-female cast, which I like a lot. And their show is Bombshells, which is basically a show which is six women who are all on the edge and about to explode for a whole lot of different reasons and why they're pretending it's all okay anymore. And you can see that at the Bluestone Church space. And if you want to find out, it's at www.witinc.com.au/whats-on. So check that out. I saw it. They actually had a sensitivity show. So during the day where they had the house lights on a bit and people could get up and move and make noise during the production, and they also have online interpreters. So I found it very accessible, which I do not always find with theatre. Like, they're doing a play of Dog in the Night, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
I saw that, yeah.
Mm. But, you know, it's about someone with autism, so they try and recreate what that's like. For a person with autism, that show is instantly inaccessible because having all that sound, you know, and all the sound, like the chaos of it, is actually really distressing.
Yeah, it's really funny. As an autistic person, people feel that accessibility for me is to have a quiet room. I don't want to be sent to a quiet room. Stop sending me away. Mm. I just want to be involved in all the things.
Yeah, we do like, we like hanging around people. Just
I like all the people. That's why I'm here.
I don't want to choose. I don't. I refuse. So, but I hear the show is great, and I really like the book. But I just thought it was ironic that
is so interesting. Yeah, because I love the show, but that's a really important point: is that if it's not even accessible to the people that it's hypothetically representing, then is it actually a good show?
But I suppose that's a lot of the part, isn't it? Because we see stories being told around people from the community that are played by people who are not, and that's to make it accessible for people who might not know about that because they are completely new to it. Like, there's a film in the Queer Film Festival, which is a French film, and that's about, and that's the story of a trans woman, and the trans woman is played by a cis woman. And she's a famous actress, so people will go and see that film that might not have seen it if it was a lesser-known person. But also just seen a film from Chile about a trans woman, played by a trans woman, win an Oscar. So it's like, come on, France. Get it together.
Better a cis woman than a cis man, I suppose.
Yeah, but also better neither.
I know. I totally agree. But, yeah.
Well, you know, there's definitely, it doesn't perpetuate the very, very awful assumption that trans women are men, because that's a load of crap. We've got no room for that, no time for that on this show. But we haven't got a lot of time left, unfortunately. So, Nev, I suppose what's been one of the most important things as far as, like, picking clothes? Because you are very well-dressed and people cannot see
Thank
that.
You.
But was that, like, so has that been something that you've been able to lean into when you got older, or was that, has that all been a part of identity for you?
Well, I like to think I've always been well-dressed. but, yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of thought that has to go into it now with my dysphoria stuff, because it's really important that I'm, like, read as queer, whatever that might mean, and that obviously means different things to different people. And, you know, often I just get gendered or read as a gay man, but I will take that over being gendered as a straight man. So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't know, pick and choose. And then sometimes, you know, I will wear a dress or I'll wear makeup, and then I experience a lot of, like, misplaced trans misogyny, which is also a bizarre experience because I'm not trans femme and I'm not a trans woman. And so it's just a lot of space to navigate.
Yeah.
So I am a notorious outfit repeater. I believe in outfit repeating strongly to my core. I think it's really capitalist to not outfit repeat. I think when you find something that works, you should work it till its end. So I'm the kind of person that, like, wears clothes until they're, like, full of holes.
Who couldn't? In this economy, who could not be an outfit?
Right, and also it's just, like, it's a part of gender stuff. Like, if you've got an outfit that really works for you and, like, you get read in the way that you want to and you feel comfortable, like, repeat that outfit till it's death. I'm all about it. So, yeah, I mean, I just really love, like, floral button-ups, and I love anything that's, like, really soft mask and, like, hard femme at the same time. That's my type as well.
Did you put a lot of work over the years in, like, finding your style?
Because I'm imagining
because of the,
sorry,
you know,
yeah, no. Which, by the way, you can find at our readings and also at books.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, go.
You know, as we've established, you came out quite a few times. There must have been, like, trying to code yourself, like, different. I suppose you must have gone through a bit of evolution with your style.
Definitely. Well, clothing is a huge sort of motif through my life and my journey, and probably everyone's. But, you know, at the end of my book, there's a scene where I go to a party with different versions of myself at different ages. So I, like, interact with myself at the age of 4, at the age of 13, at the age of 17, and clothing is a big part of that. Like, what those people are wearing. You know, like, for example, my 4-year-old self is wearing, like, a dragon skull t-shirt and, like, bike shorts and, you know, but was put into a dress by his mum. And so I tell him that he can take it off. And then there's, you know, like, 9-year-old me who's trying really hard to be femme and is wearing, like, a shirt that slips off the shoulder and a little mini skirt. And there's, you know, 13-year-old me and 70, like, so clothing is a huge motif in my relationship with my gender, in my relationship with other people, in self-expression. It was a huge numbing factor when I went to school and had to wear a uniform and wasn't able to accessorize that. I wasn't able to make it my own. That numbed my personal self-expression, my sexuality, my identity in all different ways. And I would rebel against that and then get punished for it without the acknowledgement that it's actually a part of something much deeper, and not just trying to be a teenage rebel, which people thought I was being when I came out as trans as well. And I was like, no, like, I can rebel in, like, lots of
ways. Isn't it interesting how there's this idea that people would choose to be part of like marginalized communities for kicks? Because I think that was a similar thing when I came out as bi. It's like, oh, well, you know, that is because you want to be cool. I'm like, everyone's treating me like shit, so I'm not sure how, like...
Yes. This isn't working out so well. Yeah, people thought I was attention-seeking, and I was like, God, I could write a whole book on, like, ways to get attention that isn't about being trans. I mean, why do you think I dyed my hair? Like, you know, there were lots of things I could have done. I could have just, like, walked into a room, taken off all my clothes, and screamed really loudly. Like, there are really great ways to get attention. Coming out as trans is not...
Just learn to juggle or ride a unicycle.
Yeah, you could, like, get a skill. You could be in a band, like...
I was actually going to ask, so Johnny is Melbourne's Mr. Rubberman, and so that's a similar thing with as far as self-expression with clothing. That's a big part for you too.
It is, indeed. I relate to what you're talking about when you say you want to be perceived a particular way by the clothes that you wear. I'm very conscious when I wear my rubber that I'm deliberately dressing it and want to be perceived as in a particular way when I walk down the street. Mm-hmm. I confess that there's an element which I like to be conceived as being different. Mm-hmm. There's an element that which I'm deliberately putting myself out there. And perhaps an element that I don't want to be perceived as being like everybody else, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. the norm, like like,
well, because I see it as an extension of the school uniform. I see, like, gender-coded outfits as, like, an extension of a school uniform. That it is what the business has created, you know? Mm. It's what the gender business has created of, like, this is what men wear and this is what women wear. And so, for me, you know, and I have nothing against people that, like, do dress in those gender-coded ways. Like, that's not the fight that I'm picking. But, you know,
it's not everybody.
Yeah, it's not everybody. And, like... And also people that wear those things aren't necessarily of that gender coding. Mm. You know, there are plenty of people that wear dresses that don't identify as women and vice versa. You know, so I love messing with that and not being a part of that uniform. I graduated high school. I don't need to wear a uniform anymore.
I love messing with that too. People will generally assume when I'm out and about in my rubber that I'm gay. People associate wearing rubber with being gay if you're a man.
Do they think that about tyres as well?
No, it's quite possible.
You've touched a tyre, you're gay now. Yeah.
I'm very quick to point out that I'm not.
Mm. Do you have to explain what pansexual is to them, though?
I do, always.
I think that's even, like, less well-known than bisexual.
Which I enjoy doing, I might add.
Well, I mean, that's what I love about being non-binary, because I feel like I embody every and all gender, so mm-hmm. I feel like I'm kind of a superhero, because anything I touch turns to queer.
Could I ask, what do you see as the difference between non-binary and gender fluid? Because I think gender fluidity is the idea of moving between, and so sometimes you identify more strongly as one or the other, but I've always been a bit...
that is interesting.
...curious around that myself.
I guess for me, like, it's just a word that I like more. I've never really liked the words genderqueer or gender fluid for myself. Like, they just... I think it's like it hits a little tick inside you that's like, oh, that feels good. Like, that's kind of comfortable. It's like a shoe that fits. Like, I think genderqueer and gender fluid are, like, a half size too big or too small for me. Like, they just don't feel that same comfort.
But you don't see it as being a particularly different or...
Maybe in my own vocabulary, I would see gender fluid as, more of, like, a fluidity and movement.
Yeah.
Whereas for me, my gender is certainly not stagnant, but I think that I'm always Nev.
You're always all things all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect. Exactly. I don't think that I, like, move between them all that much. I think there's some days where I feel more mask and somewhere I feel more femme, whatever that might mean, but yeah.
We do have to leave soon, but I'm just going to quickly read from these tweets I'll put up by the homosexual. Trying to unlearn gender and sexuality binaries largely established in the 19th century can be challenging. People treat these binaries as undeniable truths, kill queer and trans people over them, and they're just products of colonialism. Dismantle this shit. Binaries of gender are based upon completely arbitrary definitions of what constitutes man and woman. These are imposed through colonization and violence. Many indigenous societies had far more complex understandings of gender roles. These binaries continue to suffocate anyone outside of them. Men are the most common perpetrators of violence, defenders of this patriarchal two-gender binary system, often inflicting trauma upon gender non-conforming people, a product of colonial cis-het patriarchal violence. So basically this idea of saying that masculinity is fragile because of the completely arbitrary standards it itself rests upon, which I thought was a really interesting way of looking at it.
Mm.
So this idea that because it has to be so clearly, fiercely protected because it's practically impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think on that note, we are going to be winding up. So next week we do have Jen with a representation hour. Again, Jennifer is currently in a show, Bombshells, which you can find at witinc.com.au/whatscomeon. The Bombshells is an Australian play. It's pretty spectacular.
Make sure you stick around after our show as well, because
Local Roots,
some really awesome local Australian music.
That's right. On Mondays and Tuesdays, all the Aussie music you could possibly imagine. Thank you so much for joining us, Mel and Nevo.
Nouveau.
Nouveau, yeah. Yes.
Getting that.
Nailed it. Thanks, guys. It's been Triple Bypass. Stay tuned. This is Joy. Don't change that dial.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass. On Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.